Education Ready to Order. Today is Wednesday, March 7th, 2018. The time is 8 a.m. In attendance are myself, Senator Stevens, Senator Giesel, Senator Begich, Senator Coghill, and Senator Hughes. So we have a quorum to conduct business. Today we'll take up Senate Bill 185, the retiree hire program for educators who are in the teacher's retirement system. And my intent today is to continue with an exploratory hearing of the bill, to hear from the bill sponsor, any relevant agencies, stakeholders, and entertain several questions I know many of us have, and to discuss the bill and hold it for further review. Any questions and comments before we start? Thank you all for being here. Just a note that we've requested a fiscal note, which will be here next week, and we have the bill's sponsor, Senator Machicki, is our staff. Is that right? Okay. Well, let's go ahead and start if we can. You're your staff, right? Oh, would you come forward? Rachel. Thank you, Rachel. And if you have any comments to make, we'd appreciate them.
For the record, Rachel Hinkey, staff to Senator Machicki. Mr. Chairman, I don't have any comments at this time. I was going to let you guys give questions to those of you.
Okay, well, I think one of the concerns I'd have, we'll ask the department as well, but some concern about possible abuse of the system in the past. Do you have any reflection on how that would be controlled?
No, Mr. Chairman, I do not.
Okay, we'll ask the department that or the Division of Retirement. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate, Rachel, your coming forward. Let's see, is Kathy Lee from the Retirement Benefits with us? Kathy, please come forward. Good to see you again. Thank you for being here, Kathy. If you identify yourself for the record.
For the record, I'm Kathy Lee. I'm the Deputy Director and Chief Pension Officer for the Division of Retirement and Benefits.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Well, so several concerns have been raised to me about a potential abuse of the system. I mean, can you talk to us about that in the past when we've had rehire provisions? Do you have any comments on that? And one I've heard about is 49% employment contracts. How often are they used? Do we have any information on that?
Mr. Chair, the 49% teaching contract was not part of the retiree rehire plan. It's not a term the division uses. It's not a defined term. However, the requirements for a teacher to be enrolled in the TERS are that they work at least 50% of the normal work week. And so districts will hire a teacher on a 49% contract, so they are not eligible for TERS. And if it's a retiree, if they're hired in an ineligible position, it does not affect their retirement.
And this is just TERS, right? It doesn't include PERS employees. Is that correct, or am I wrong?
The same concept exists in the PERS, except there's no contracts. In the PERS, if an employee is hired in a non-permanent position or a position that works less than 15 hours a week, they are also ineligible for inclusion in the PERS, and they could reemploy without affecting their retirement.
Okay. Thank you very much. I got any questions, Senator Begich?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Does that mean then that right now somebody, without this bill, a district could hire somebody at 49 hours now? Because a retiree could be hired at 49 hours now?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, that's true. And many districts do hire teachers that are on less than a 50% contract.
And if I could follow up.
Please.
So that's one of the reasons for this bill, though, isn't it? So that a district would have the opportunity to hire somebody full-time as opposed to part-time and without damaging, necessarily damaging the district's finances. That one of the reasons for this bill is to create a better opportunity for a full-time as opposed to a part-time employee so they're not skirting the law. Would that be somewhat correct?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, that's my understanding of the bill, is that it would allow the rehire of a teacher into a full-time position without harming their retirement.
And then just one last thought then. So to clarify then, that would mean that the system or the gaming of the system is what occurs essentially now by hiring people for 49 hours, and that this bill actually would be a counteract to some degree anyway, to the gaming of the system that the chairman has identified. Would that be correct?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, I'm not sure I'm comfortable.
Fair enough.
Characterizing that as gaming of the system, because I know there are districts that have had legitimate needs, and I'm sure there's gaming somewhere, because there generally always is.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And as follow-up to that, if someone's hired under the 50%, is the district contributing to TERS, and are they providing the health care plan? Because that's an added... That's a cost now for the districts, and I see it, part of it is to get them really to try not to, to initially try to recruit someone else, because if they're going to have to contribute to the retirement system, pay for their health care, just wondering if the 49% or less, whether, how does it work for health care and how does it work for the employer contribution?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes. A person who is hired into a position that is ineligible for TERS is not reported to us. So no contributions are taken from the employer side, nor the employee side. We don't even know they've been hired. So whether or not a district provides health insurance for that person, I can't speak to, because we don't see these in our reporting.
Okay, and follow up.
Please.
So now, if the district bumps above the 49%, they're going to have this new 12.56% contribution to the TERS system. Is that going to be a disincentive to the districts, and they're going to want to continue to keep them under 50%, or do you think it's reasonable? It sounds like districts support it, so I'm assuming they're okay with it, but that's definitely an added cost for districts.
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, it is an added cost. I can't speak to whether that would be a disincentive for a district. They may have need for a full-time person, and it's worth it to them. So I'm not sure how to answer your question.
And as follow-up, Mr. Chair, I would like to know about the health care. If it's less than 50%, are these retired teachers coming in and getting the active employee health care? Because it's quite a difference in new costs then for the district if they're now contributing this 12.56% to the retirement system, plus they're providing, paying for the premiums for their health care. So it's a significant added cost for districts, and I just would like to understand what's happening now if it's under the 50%. Thank you.
So, if I will get you in with the center, but follow up on that. So, if a teacher has retired, they're getting health benefits through their retirement, and if they go back to work, they don't need to get any health benefits at a rehire, do they? Because they're already getting full health benefits. Is there any more available to them can the district provide any more health benefits than they are already receiving?
Mr. Chair, I'm not aware what is offered by districts in the way of health insurance to employees at different levels, so I really can't speak to that, but I can say that the retiree does have retiree health insurance, and that there is an Affordable Care Act provision that prohibits active employees from participating in the retiree health plan, and that's why we requested a provision in this bill that would protect the retiree health plan by requiring the employer to offer active health to the rehired person.
Thank you. Senator Hazel.
Well, my question is kind of along that line, because I'm confused by Section 4 of the bill. And Director Lee, last time you were here, you said that the employee couldn't receive a salary, that is, be hired as a retiree, and receive retirement benefits. But Section 4 says they can. Section 4, line 2, and maybe I'm just not getting this, but line 12 says the member shall continue to receive retirement benefits from the plan as though they were not employed by the school district. So that kind of sounds like they're getting their health benefits as well as the pension, right? And so I'm confused because it sounds like they are getting both a salary and their retirement benefits. And so I'm pretty confused about this. Is there anything you can say?
Hey, through the chair, Senator Giesel, under the current law, as it's currently being administered, if a retiree goes back to work in a full-time permanent position or a part-time permanent position, we're required to stop their retirement benefit, stop their retiree health benefit while they're working. While they're working, they are contributing to the system and they are earning an additional pension amount. So when they terminate and retire again, their first benefit will start right back up, but they will have earned another additional benefit for that period of employment. Mm-hmm. That section in the bill is the new language that will allow them to come back into employment without us stopping their retirement benefit. So they will continue to receive the retirement, they will continue to receive the retiree health, but they won't make any contributions to the system and they will not earn an additional benefit.
Thank you. I must have misunderstood you the last time you spoke because I thought the question had been answered and you said that scenario of simultaneously receiving pay as rehire and receiving your retirement pension was not going to be allowed. So so then in G, excuse me.
No, please go right ahead.
Section 4, so it's still on page 3, and then there's G, that starts on line 18. A member who is retired and reemployed is eligible to receive group health plan coverage, provided the active members are employed by that school district. So they are getting benefits. They are still continuing to get their health benefits even while they're being rehired here, it looks like, their retirement benefits. Is that how you would read that sentence?
Through the chair, Senator Giesel, that's correct. They will still receive their retiree health benefit. But in order to comply with the Affordable Care Act, the employer must provide them with active health insurance. There is a requirement that we cannot have an active employee participating in the retiree health plan. So the employer would have to offer it. If the employer has a waiver option, if they allow employees to waive, the rehired retiree could waive coverage. But the requirement is that they have to at least offer active health insurance. So if the retired person either has to elect active insurance or chooses to elect active insurance, their retiree health insurance will be secondary to that plan.
Could we have you stay with us and have Senator Michiki come up? Do you mind? Okay. If you'd stay with us for a few minutes, I'm sure there'll be more questions. Senator Michiki, pleased to have you here. Can you clarify any of this discussion? If you take a seat right next to Kathy, if you would.
Good morning, Senator Peter Michiki, District O, for the record. So I heard a couple of questions there that I think we probably do need to clarify. There's a reason why the union supports the bill as well. It's because there's not any savings to the district. The desire is that we hire full-time new teachers ready to go to work for many years to come. Reason for the bill is when we can't fill a position. So there's not a break to the district cost-wise. It doesn't cost them additional money. It costs them the same. They have to write, they have to cover the 12.56%. They have to offer active member group health coverage, as you described. but the member does not become an active member, so there's not additional retirement benefits. They continue to receive their retirement benefits aside from the health benefit, and there's not a deduction made from their salary. But they also can't receive additional credited service. So from the retirement side, there's no benefit for the person coming back for that slot. From the health care side, they have to be offered group health plan coverage, the same as an active member. From the district side, it costs them the same on health and the 12.56%. So the only incentive, the only reason for this bill is when they just simply can't fill a slot, they can hire an experienced teacher to fill that slot until that slot can be filled by a person who's going to begin their career as a teacher or who's coming from another location to continue their career.
Thank you, Senator. Questions, Senator R.F. Caffey? Well, one I'd like to explore a little bit is the sunset provisions. Often in the past we've had sunset provisions as well as reporting requirements. And we've done that in the past. It's not in this bill. Any comments on the advisability of that? Is that something we need to consider? Would it make any sense? And either Senator Michiki or Kathy, if you comment on that. That's not in this bill.
Right. It's not in this bill. I mean, I think it's a tool that we've recognized is something that's become more necessary. I don't know that the problem will go away in Alaska. I mean, we have a lot of issues with remote positions that have to be filled. I think it's continuously a struggle. If it's something that you're more comfortable with, it's another bill we have to put through in however many years you decide a sunset is appropriate. But I think this is a tool that districts, it's supported by NEA, but it's also supported by all the districts. I think it's one they'd like to have available to them. I don't think if they had another choice that they would be bringing back retired teachers, because what you don't know is how long that retired teacher is going to be interested in continuing to teach. I don't think it's as reliable as bringing in a new employee that's going to begin a career and possibly teach for 20 or 30 years. So that's up to you if you think that's necessary. I personally don't. We can always change the law if it becomes problematic. But I don't foresee unintended consequences with this bill that would make me. There's a reason we didn't put a sunset in the bill.
Thank you, Senator. Just in defense of retired professors, the best teacher I ever had in my life was a retired professor who they kept dragging back to teach a required course at my undergraduate college, and he was amazing. And I think he probably taught until he was 80. Kathy, any comments on this issue of sunset or reporting? Is that something that's been done in the past? And I know it has been. Any reflection from your department and how it might impact you?
Mr. Chair, the sunset provisions were in existence for the two prior retiree rehire bills. There was also reporting requirements involved, and the division was required to provide I'm Kathy Lee. I'm the Chief Pension Officer and Deputy Director for the Division of Retirement Benefits. There were those provisions in the past, and there were reporting measures because the division was required to report on the activity of the program in prior times that the program was out. So we gave an annual report to the legislature of utilization, how many teachers or TERS members were hired, what types of positions were being hired, which districts were using the provision, and that was all information that we were required to report so that the program was monitored.
Thank you. And then for the committee, I'd appreciate feedback from you. If this is an issue you think should be included in a CS, we'd like to consider that. Further questions? Yes, please, Senator Giesel.
So continuing on that reporting theme that we started, so we've been given this document. I don't know where it came from. Perhaps you, Director Lee, I don't know, but it's reporting positions that were hired. And, you know, when we talk about this bill, we're talking about teachers, right? And so I'm looking here at the variety of people that participated in the rehire program before. And there's a category called miscellaneous, which were 73 people. There's a site administrator, that was 11 people, a psychologist, a librarian, a director. I mean, these are not teachers. And so it changes my view now of what the word means when it says in the bill, member. It's much broader than simply a classroom teacher. Comment?
If I could follow up on that, many of these people would be in the PERS system, wouldn't they? Are all administrators in TERS? Oh, it's all TERS. Okay. Yeah. Well, very good question. Thank you, Senator. Response?
Mr. Chair and Senator Giesel, a member in TERS is defined as a person who is required to have a certificate from the Department of Education in order to perform the duties of their job. And there are job classes outside of classroom teacher that meet that definition. For example, some librarians are required to be certificated because they also are teaching. And school nurses sometimes have to be certified because they're teaching health classes. And there are other positions, such as the superintendent, who must have certification that are covered under the bill because they are all TERS members.
Senator?
Just my only comment, this is the first I've seen this, but this is a 10-year, and I had seen it in the past, I just didn't recognize it, but it's a 10-year period, and there were 325 in the entire 10-year period, and they are diversified positions, and it's interesting that the employer with the largest number was the Lower Kuskokwim School District, which I don't know that you know what positions are going to be necessary to fill your roster for the year, but I actually believed that it was more utilized than this, so it kind of demonstrates that it's only when you're in a somewhat of a clinch that you're going to take advantage of the program. That's an average of 32 teachers a year that utilized over that 10-year period that where the program was utilized statewide. It's interesting.
Well, I would just add that we've heard the situation's gotten worse in the last 8 years, and this only goes up till 2010. But, Mr. Chairman, I did have another follow-up question, which is a little bit different, perhaps, than what we've been asking. So we're hiring retired folks. And one of the things that I'm aware of is the work comp costs that are borne by school districts, actually pulling money away from classrooms. So I'm wondering, we have some experience here, what kind of work comp cases resulted from hiring older folks into school systems? Does anyone have any kind of information on that?
Interesting question, but probably not. And we're talking about, well, obviously we're talking about a lot of folks, not just classroom teachers. Usually that's a fairly safe environment, but it isn't going to happen. Is such information available, Ms. Lee? Do you know of it?
Mr. Chair, that would probably be a question best put to Scott Jordan, who is the director of the risk management for the state of Alaska. It's a division of the Department of Administration. He may have information on what other workers' comp agencies throughout the state may do, because the state does not do all of them. And so there are many entities that are covered by non-state workers' compensation carriers, and he may not have information on that, but he may.
Well, thank you. Senator will contact, Tim will contact Scott Jordan and see if he has that information. If he does, we'll have him come to us. Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have heard about the national teacher shortage, and we're very aware that even before it was such a problem in the lower 48, we've had a tough time in the remote areas. So we're all very aware, and I think we get that there's a need as far as the teachers, but these other categories, and if you look during this period, it's more than half of the rehires were not teachers. Well, maybe if you add in, I would consider a special ed teacher, so add that in, that, so now we're maybe more than half. But do we know, are there actual verified shortages for these other categories, or is this more, it's just convenient? I'm just wondering if this should be designed for all so broadly. And if we design this so broadly, then could we have just other public employee categories wanting to come back and do something similar, and would you feel comfortable doing that with other types of employees where maybe the shortage isn't as extreme as it is with teachers?
And I think Mrs. Parody has a response that she can give to that. And Ms. Lee, thank you very much. And if you'll stay, we may have further questions. Please sit down in the back if you would. And if further questions arise, we're probably going to call on you. Mrs. Parody, if you'd come up and tell us how wonderful your new grandchild is.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify. For the record, my name is Lisa Skiles Parody, representing the Alaska Council of School Administrators, superintendents, principals, and school business officials, as well as essentially all administrators in the school districts. And I would love to tell you how wonderful my new grandchild is. Imogen Eliza is one day old, and the similar, I think, to Senator Hughes, has clearly taken all of my attention. So let me get back on track here and just say that the bill was designed, Mr. Chairman, Senator Hughes, for all educators, because we are in such a crisis across the board. So in Alaska, over the last 4 years, we've had a 59% turnover rate for superintendents, and I'm looking at another 10 this year. And so we are really struggling to fill the superintendent position in Alaska, and you're seeing school boards, and certainly my colleague Norm Wooten can speak to this, who are have such diminished pools to select from that they're pulling long-term teachers, for example, out of their districts into the superintendent position. We're doing everything we can in our association to wrap our arms around them and help them to quickly get up to speed on enterprise budgeting, enterprise HR, all the things that superintendents actually have as a definitive skill set that they learn through superintendent certificates and education that we're not actually seeing when you pull someone, for example, from a teacher position or a principal's position. They may have been amazing, outstanding in those roles, but the superintendent position, as I know you're aware, is a very different skill set. So in response to your question, it was designed specifically to address shortages in Alaska TERS education populations, and because we're in need across all of those positions. For principals, by way of example, we have a 26% turnover rate. And so if you think about it as a business, and your CEO, being the superintendent, is spinning at that kind of rate, you know, you're losing your superintendent on a regular basis. Your middle management, being the principals, are turning over at the 26% rate. And we know our teacher turnover rates, as you yourself said, Senator Hughes, is ongoing and getting worse every year. When you look at urban turnover, we're really looking at like concentric circles. I think the average is a 22% turnover. And then as you go to an urban fringe, it's higher. As you go to a rural hub like Bethel, it's worse. And when you get to, and I know Senator Geisel understands as well from having served in those communities, when you get to a isolated remote, your retention rate is in the 50s. And so across the board in Alaska, we're in crisis. And I'd want to share one number with you that I got since the last hearing, and that is there's some research by a person named Ingersoll out of Penn, and these numbers are the most recent from 2015. In the country, we have about 3.3 million teachers. So this is in reference to teachers. In 2015, 531,000, just over 531,000, left the profession, and primarily because of working conditions and other reasons, too. We replaced them and prepared 343,000. So we're having this gap nationally in terms of the numbers of educators leaving the profession and what we're able to prepare to replace them, which is creating, you know, we have a deficit ongoing, and it's creating a shortage across the country, but we're in some ways worse in Alaska because we rely on the lower 48 to recruit our teachers and our principals and in many cases our superintendents, and so we're in a worse situation than we've ever been in the history of Alaska, and it's across all of those pieces. So the bill was designed to help us fill positions, TERS positions, superintendents, principals, primarily teachers. And I think if you look at the summary data that was provided by the Department of Administration that Senator Michiki spoke to, this isn't a mad rush. This is when districts cannot fill a vacancy after they've tried. Ultimately, we're trying to fill those positions with long-term stable teachers, long-term stable principals, and superintendents. We know when you do that, our achievement is better. But when you can't do that, it is, I think, districts' preference to fill it with someone who has retired from our system, who understands Alaska, who understands education, is a proven source versus what we are trying to do now, which is patch together something in terms of substitutes or a paraprofessional who may not have the content. So we're putting those people in a math class, for example. They may not have that content background. Our students are much better served by a retired math teacher coming in for 1 year, so we can continue to look to fill that position with a long-term teacher. Thank you.
Would you like to hear any follow-up, Senator Hughes? Okay. Senator Baggage.
Thank you. It's something you just said. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Perry brings a question, I think, for clarification. As the title suggests, Senator Michiki, this is simply the TRS system, not the PERS system at all. And there was some suggestion of PERS, but you made that point. I looked again at the title, and it's simply the TERS position. So really no other positions except TERS positions would be included, right?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Baggage, that is correct. And this also does not go to the point 49 that was discussed earlier this is full-time retired TERS employees.
So if we could, appreciate having you both here, I hope you're comfortable with that. If we could go to the issue of the notice that a district is looking for a position to fill. I think they have 10 days to advertise. I guess this question is that enough time to get a full-time teacher from somewhere else? There's an only requirement of 10 days active recruitment. If either of you could reflect on that issue. I'm just wondering if that gives you enough time to find a bona fide replacement elsewhere that would be not retired.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I would submit that most districts are advertising that amount much, much longer to attract a certified employee. And so I guess I can't speak to if it's enough time or not. The reason for the bill is that they are advertising almost throughout the year in some cases and not finding the employees that they need. And so 10 is a minimum. And I have every confidence that districts are doing that easily, because the whole point of being, you know, bringing this bill forward is that they're doing that and more, and not able to attract certified employees to the position.
Okay, thank you. Further questions? Well, let's see. I think we've pretty covered all the issues that I wanted to talk about. Senator, you're comfortable with what we've spoken of? Any further reflections you have at this time?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think there were some great questions, and it certainly clarifies for the public the intent of the bill. you know, I can give you a couple of. I've got, you know, two children right now in the public school system, and I'll tell you just a situation back at home where a longtime incredible teacher went out on maternity leave, and they advertised and struggled, and ended up going with the patchwork where they switched out a teacher several times over the next couple months, which is creates instability for the kids, and often the teachers just sometimes the temporary teacher doesn't have the experience. So I think it's a very beneficial tool in the private sector. I can just give you some of my experience. I was superintendent of a plant that was shut down for a couple of years, and suddenly the price turned around, and we had a need for experienced employees to start a plant up. And we actually brought people from all around the state that had been employed at that facility over the last 40 years. And we just collected a level of expertise temporarily until we filled those positions that just simply is not available elsewhere. So I see it as a real benefit. And then finally, Mr. Chairman, I just have to clarify for the record that this bill has no influence from Rita that perhaps may want to get you out of the house a little more often and back into the classroom. So,
I appreciate that.
That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Senator Michiki. Well, we also have, just for the committee's information, we have someone online from Legislative Legal if there are questions for the drafter. And it may be, who's with us from Legislative Legal, if you identify yourself?
Good morning, Mr. Chair. This is Dan Wayne from Leg Legal.
Well, thank you very much, Dan. Good to have you with us again. Dan, do you have any comments on other bills of this nature that have included a sunset provision and reporting requirements? Is that fairly standard, or do you have any reflection on that issue?
I don't know if it's fairly standard or not. I think it's purely up to the legislature.
Okay, Dan, and that would be something that, if we choose to pursue it, would be easy enough to draft.
That's right.
Thank you very much. Any questions of Mr. Wayne? All right, thank you all very much. Yes, Senator Hughes.
I did think of one other question, because I know the contracts cannot exceed 12 months, but there's nothing, and I was just skimming quickly again, to have multiple 12-month contracts, because when you think about it, if someone goes directly into teacher education, they could be 22, 23 when they begin teaching. 30 years later, they're 52, 53, and that's young, Mr. Chair. and I could see, and you talked about one of the best teachers probably taught till he was 80. So there's nothing in this bill that would prevent someone who wanted to continue for, you know, five more years. They could do that. There's no limit on the number of contracts. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, or through the chair, Senator Hughes, no. Every teacher contract is 12 months. But there's nothing in this bill that keeps someone from coming back. But looking at the data for the 10 years that you see before you in the reporting, that average time reemployed was 18.7 months. I mean, I think it truly is a temporary situation, although if you continue to be challenged for that slot, I think you could reemploy that person for a second or third. The longest in this in that period was 46 months, which is, you know, four contracts.
And a quick follow-up to that, is the advertisement requirement kick in between each contract, or is it just initially?
I think Dr. Garrity has an answer.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hughes, my understanding is that it would kick in each period, that they would try to advertise, find a long-term employee, and in the event that they were unable to do that, you would then be able to issue another one-year contract.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Comments, Senator?
Mr. Chairman, on the reporting, I am kind of a lack of red tape whenever possible sort of guy. If you think there's value and that's something you're considering, that's, of course, your prerogative. But I just wonder what kind of value it may have on in relation to the cost. I mean, what's sort of wonderful about this bill, although it has an indeterminate fiscal note, I think when the actuarial data comes in, I think you're going to find it's a zero. I mean, there shouldn't be a cost shift, and I just think about that if there's enough value worthy of the cost of reporting.
Very good. Thank you, Senator McGee. Thank you, Dr. Cardi. We also have with us Mark Miller, superintendent here in the Juneau School District. Thank you, Dr. Miller, for being with us again. Appreciate your spending your mornings with us, and I'm sure you've got a lot of squirrely things to deal with.
Dr. Mark Miller, superintendent of schools. At the risk of sounding like Bill Murray from Groundhog Day, I still support this bill because it still deepens our talent pool. I'm working on a little short sleep, so bear with me here. Yesterday, I started the morning down in L.A. talking to a vendor who has a product that last year saved 300 kids from committing suicide and quite possibly could have stopped the shooting in Broward County. And I had to tell him that, well, it's a great product, I can't afford it. And then flying back on the plane, you know, I was just picturing myself having to look a parent in the eye and say, you know, for $20, I might have been able to keep your kid alive, but I just didn't have the 20 bucks. I don't know if any of you have ever had to meet with parents who have just lost a son or a daughter, but it rips your heart out. From there, I went back to my house. I showered, I shaved, and I went to a budget meeting where we spent 5 hours trying to cut $3 million from our budget from 5 to 10 last night, and in the end, we added $60,000 to the, and one of the things we added was school nurses, because the board felt that even in these tough times, having nurses in schools to deal with kids who have type 1 diabetes, to make sure kids get the right meds and don't end up dying because they're taking meds unsupervised was worth the funds. We can't find school nurses, and we can't find school psychologists. We post. And so then the only option we have in order to meet the needs of our special students with special needs is we call down to Oregon, and we sign a contract with a private firm who takes their cut, and then they send us up nurses or psychologists to meet the needs. And not a dime of that money stays in Alaska. And not only do the employees not get all the money, there's a cut for the company who we contract with. So I don't know who's gaming the system, but I promise you it's not us. We are doing the absolute best we can with the dollars we have to get the job done. For us in Juneau, because this is a, for Alaska anyway, a very nice place to live, you know, for us it's not about Sally Smith kindergarten teacher. We can find it. But some of our higher need positions, our special ed positions, they go unfilled all year. This doesn't solve the problem, but it helps a little bit. It could help a little bit. It doesn't save us any money. We get that. But it doesn't cost us any money either. And it allows us to give a better product to the kids who need it the most. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, Dr. Miller. And I only sympathize with the problems you face on a daily basis. And the suicide issue is just enormous. I can't imagine having to deal with parents after an event like that occurs. Could you reflect, though, on the issue of reporting requirements not in this bill? Would that be an onerous thing to add to the bill? Just any thoughts you may have on reporting requirements?
Mr. Chair, if you would, when you say reporting requirements, can you tell me kind of what you have in mind?
Well, we're having we're considering a sunset clause, a sunset provision, and then learning from the districts how they're using this and how much they're making use of it. I don't think the requirements are really enormous, just so we know.
I mean, for Juneau, we're maybe talking about 3, 4, 5 employees max. So I can't imagine that having to report on 3, 4, or 5 employees would take us down the rabbit hole.
Thank you, sir. Further questions, Dr. Miller? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any further comments here? We have Joshua Gill, Lower Kestergom School District. Joshua, are you with us?
Hi, my name is Josh. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you and the other community members here. we're calling in as far as Lower Custom School District in support of Senate Bill 185. As folks know, LKSD is one of the largest rural school districts in size, roughly the size of West Virginia. We have 27 schools spread out across that area. We're completely remote. They're all fly-in. And I'm not, after listening to the huge testimony, I'm not telling anybody anything different when they know that Alaska's experienced a huge shortfall in quality educators, and teachers in particular. This year, I think our district had 8 positions starting the school year that we were unable to fill. And so when you talk about numbers, that can give you an idea of numbers of teachers that we're looking at. But the impact that those 8 teachers had were over 100 kids. And so our district is really doing everything we possibly can to keep quality education in front of our students who, because of the challenges of the remoteness, there's always that challenge there, and then not being able to put teachers in the classroom is really difficult. A big piece, and you've heard other people talking about, we've sat next to the school district at job fairs in Texas where their starting salary is $10,000 more than we're offering, but we're asking them to live out remote places away from their families. So there's many of those challenges go along. The biggest thing is we're hiring teachers. I hired 60 teachers last year, new teachers to the district, and probably a third of them were retired teachers from other states. But I can't hire the retired teachers from Alaska, and they are the ones that know our kids the best. They truly do. And they're the ones who can give our kids the best education possible. Senate Bill 185 is the tool that would help our school district when we can't fill those positions and allow us to keep the very best instructors in front of our children. And ultimately, that is our end goal. That is our main goal, is keeping quality educators. It's not going to fix the teacher shortage problem. It's not going to be a permanent fix down the road. But this really would help us as schools to give our kids a quality education possible. So just to kind of recap, Senate Bill would allow us to reemploy retired teachers in particular, and that's what we're looking for, and helps districts fill vacancies and is a necessary tool to meet the school district's personnel needs in our rural districts in particular. Our students will benefit by this experience of Alaska teachers and educators who provide quality instruction for our children, and they deserve that. So I ask you to support Senate Bill 185.
Thank you very much. Josh, for the record, you may have mentioned it. What is your position with the district?
I'm sorry, I'm the director of personnel.
Thank you very much, Josh. So you bring up a very interesting point about currently you can hire retired teachers from outside of Alaska, but you cannot hire retired teachers, people who have retired in Alaska. I think that's what you have said, and I've heard that elsewhere. So that seems to be a pretty important point. You mentioned you had 8 positions unfilled. To your knowledge, were there people available, retired teachers, who could have taken that some of those positions?
I would assume there was, but because I couldn't even access that avenue, I didn't even look. I mean, I know several. I mean, we're average. I think this year we have about 12 people retiring from our district. We have about 400 certified teachers and principals in our district, and I think we have about 12 retiring this year, and so if that is the common average, they're out there. I know they're out there, and I can think of a couple, now that you asked that question, that I could at least have called.
Well, thank you very much, Josh. Really appreciate your comments and your service to Alaska students. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
We have a bit of an issue here. Someone has to leave right away, and I think we're going to jump the queue for Dr. Mary Wegner from Sitka. Dr. Wegner, pleased to have you with us. We'll give you an opportunity to speak. I know you have another commitment.
Thank you so much, Chair Stevens. I appreciate the opportunity to testify. Chair Stevens and members of the Senate Education Committee, my name is Dr. Mary Wegner, and I am the superintendent of the Sitka School District. And I am testifying today in support of Senate Bill 185, the reemployment of retired teachers and administrators. First of all, I want to thank you for your support of public education in Alaska, and thank you for putting forward this bill to support student learning throughout our great state. The last time I checked, there were 153 open teaching positions in the state of Alaska, and we desperately need qualified teachers to fill the vacancies. As Josh just mentioned, he stole my testimony a little bit. We can hire retired teachers from other states, and we used to have the option to hire retired teachers in Alaska, and we would like to have that opportunity back. The Senate Bill 185 simply provides a tool for districts to use and does not require any districts to use this resource, which is a flexibility that is appreciated. And as a side note, we have just under 120 teachers or certificated staff in the Sitka School District. So the vacancies around the state are more than our entire district. So our district plus another district or two. And you can picture students coming in for a year of school and there's nobody there. Or people who are there aren't aware of our standards and aren't able to really provide the quality education that we need. Providing an excellent education to every student every day requires experienced teachers, a culturally responsive learning environment, and targeted instruction to meet a student's individual learning needs, all of which helps us to strive to achieve the three commitments of Alaska's Education Challenge, which are increasing student success, cultivating safety and well-being, and supporting responsible and reflective learners. By shutting out retired Alaska teachers, we are wasting a valuable resource. Thank you for taking my testimony, and thank you for your commitment to public education in Alaska. I hope you will pass Senate Bill 185 for the reemployment of retired educators.
Well, thank you. And for the record, is it W-E-G-N-E-R, Wegner?
That is correct, Chair. Yes.
Thank you very much, Mary. So has it been your experience to have you hired retired teachers from out of state?
In Sitka, similar to what Dr. Miller said in Juneau, we are fortunate in that we're a desirable location. The reason I'm testifying today is because we have a 12% budget deficit. 12% of our budget is in deficit. And I've got very talented teachers that grew up in Sitka, came back to Sitka to raise their family. And right now I had to present to the budget, or to the board on Tuesday night, eliminating 7 teaching positions. So what's going to happen next year when I don't have those quality local teachers who are committed to our community? I need to have the flexibility. So it's not been an issue for me or for Sitka, but I'm very concerned about the future.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your comments, Dr. Wegner.
Thank you.
Go on to Tam Agosti-Giesler from Anchorage. Tam, are you with us?
Yes, I'm there. So Tam Agosti-Giesler, serve on the Anchorage School Board, and I'm speaking in support of Senate Bill 185. Our district would like this bill passed for the flexibility that it will give us in hiring difficult positions, or the ones in which there are hard to find applicants. And it would allow us to expand the 0.49 or the 49% to full-time only as needed. I see this as a stopgap measure to help us get a qualified teacher in every classroom. And I know as hard as many of our substitute teachers work, we all know that a experienced retired teacher has more capabilities to meet the needs, the learning needs of our kids. There's another point that hasn't been brought up at all this morning that I want to put forward. The retired teachers who want to be rehired will still have to fulfill those 6 semester credits of continuing education in order to keep their certificate valid. That's because the lifetime certification that many others may pursue, that only allows for a position of not more than 20 days in length. So there still is an onus on the retired teacher to continue to remain current and certified. But there's a win-win for both the state and for the district, because as I understand, we would continue to contribute to pension, but the members would not receive the benefit if they were full-time. So we will actually be assisting the TERS unfunded liability by paying that 12.65% for the rehired retiree. And then my other understanding is that the current protection and benefits such as tenure and sick leave and retirement would not be offered or required, as the nature of the employment relationship is quite different for the retiree. So as a district, we also achieve a savings. So this seems like a win-win, and that we get the flexibility in hiring and the state gets additional support. That's all I have to say, that this is not only useful for our urban districts, but for rural districts across the state. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Shannon. Certainly, as the largest district in Alaska, can you reflect on the issue of currently you're able to hire retired teachers from out of state, but you cannot hire retired teachers who are retired from Alaska. Can you reflect, is that something you've done, hiring retired teachers from outside of Alaska?
I'm sorry, I don't have those numbers on me right now. I do believe that's accurate, though in many cases we're trying to find a teacher that's going to stay with us long term. It's not to our benefit to have someone come up here and work for 1 year and then leave us again. So we're looking to employ long-term full-time teachers. But as many of the previous speakers have stated, it's difficult to attract teachers to Alaska when our compensation and retirement benefits are not as attractive compared to other states. When I started teaching in the 80s, I recall being quite pleased with the package that was offered me as a teacher through most of my years, but I talked to teachers, friends in other states and tried to appeal to them to come fill our positions, and they say, why would I do that? Your salaries are lower, and we have a much better retirement plan. So it is a challenge for us and for many districts in this state. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And if you don't have that information on hiring teachers from outside the state, if you could provide that to us, we'd really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Definitely. We'll get that to you. Thank you very much.
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to leave our meeting, but I'll turn this over to Senator Coghill. And just for everyone's notice, we will be bringing this up again. I apologize. We're not obviously getting everyone on our list, but we'll continue as long as we can. Thank you very much, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, my intention then would be just to go down the list of those given public testimony, allow for questions, and then the intention is to close the meeting at 9:30, or if we run testimony through, we'll have to pick them back up. But I think it looks like we might be able to make that. So with that, Mr. Chairman, we'll just go down the list, and now that the chairman's left, I got the gavel. No telling what we can do in this committee now. So we'll go down to, we do have another, I think, let's see, we're at Anchorage, so Tam Agnosta Gisler, is that right? Oh, she just testified. I'm sorry, he didn't have that one highlighted, so I'm sorry, my apologies. Then we go to the superintendent of the Gateway School District, Scott McManus. Scott, please put yourself on the record. Give us your testimony, please. Thank you. Scott, are you still with us?
Remind him to unmute.
You may be on mute, Scott McManus, or if he had to leave the room, we'll give you one more second here.
Hello?
Good morning. Is this Scott?
It is. I apologize.
Oh, put yourself on the record and give us your testimony on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. My name is Scott McManus, and I'm the superintendent of Alaska Gateway School District. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak today in support of SB 185. As you've all been discussing, you know that there's a serious shortage of quality teachers in the country and in Alaska. In Gateway, we're a small district. You know, we don't have 400 teachers. We have 40 in a size, again, about the size of West Virginia. And we have a relatively low turnover rate. Last year, we had to replace six teachers. three of those teachers we were able to hire in the last few weeks before school started. So we were fortunate to be able to start with the full contingent. But while we have qualified, retired, experienced, certified administrators in our district, we were not able to hire them. Last year when I went down to Anchorage, I took a team of five to the fair there, and we offered two contracts to teachers who we felt would be good fit for our districts, but they all took jobs, and they both took jobs in other districts. I also went to the Portland job fair looking for teachers, and we were not able to find a single teacher there who was willing to come to a remote area in Alaska. And I know that by Alaska standards, we're not out in the bush, really. We're on the road system. But it's still a trouble. It's still a problem. And I want to support that, I think teacher placement is doing a good job, but it's an uphill battle for them. When teachers can, work in Oregon or California or Colorado and make the same amount of money they're making, in Alaska, where the economy is 30% cost less to live and where they get a better retirement package, and they don't have that commitment to our state, I think it's a hard sell to get them here. We were fortunate last fall to get our two teachers, two principals and our last teacher in the final weeks. I flew them up from the States. I sent them through a crash course that our district has to introduce our staff to working with Native students. We work hard at finding those kind of teachers. We have a competitive pay scale by Alaska standards. But it's still hard. We've had teachers who drove. We had one teacher who drove from Cincinnati up to Norquay a year ago, stayed here one day, and then he got in his car and pedaled it back to Cincinnati. And so there we are on a Friday, scrambling to find a teacher to be in front of our students on a Monday. We were able to do that temporarily, and then we took us about a month to hire a teacher who could come in. But, and again, while we have... while we have teachers here who would have been able to fill that position. So that brings me to my main point. And so, we understand we have a hard time attracting teachers to live here, to live in our villages, and we do have a number of retired teachers in our district, teachers who have stayed here after they retired. But we're having a hard time with them, of course, because they don't want to jeopardize their own retirement. And these are teachers who want to be here in the state, teachers who are committed to our kids, teachers who know our district, who know how we do things. And SB 185 is just another tool. It's not the silver bullet, but it's another tool that will help us support the mission of providing quality teachers to our kids. And I want to be clear that this is just the first step. And I want to, again, express my support for the bill and hope that you guys will pass it.
Scott, thank you very much for being online for the last hour and being able to give your testimony. I really appreciate it. I see no questions at this point, so we'll release you back to your duties of the day, and we'll go to John, is it Sedor, of the Alaska Council of School Administrators.
Hello.
Good morning, John. Put yourself on the record and give us your testimony, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is John Sedor. I'm an attorney with Sedor, Winland, Evans, and Filippi. I also work for ACSA, the Alaska Council of School Administrators, as the Special Projects Director. My comments this morning are my own. I've been representing school districts for close to 28 or 29 years. I travel from southeast to the north, out to the Aleutian Islands and throughout the interior of Alaska. I'm not an educator, but I've seen firsthand the struggles that districts have gone through trying to recruit and retain teachers. I would agree with Scott McManus that SB 185 is a tool. It's not going to be the panacea. It doesn't create a panacea. It doesn't solve all of the problems, but I strongly support it. I'm not going to restate the ideas and comments from your prior witnesses. I do want to address one point, which is that there's been comments about whether or not this would be used appropriately by school districts and retirees, and I do know that the Division of Retirement and Benefits, they put into place in January the bona fide separation regulations, and those are also set out in the bill itself in Section 1. that precludes prearrangement. So the system would be protected by the fact that retirees couldn't prearrange to come back to work for a school district at the time of their retirement. They have to wait the required amount of time, so that creates a protection and a safety for the legislation so that it would not be misused. In addition, I do want to say that there's a lot of, right now, employee or retirees can go to be employed by a district for less than half-time, but there are a lot of districts where the economics don't work for an employee to be employed for less than half-time, so this bill would give an opportunity for those retirees who are in the communities to go back to a full-time position with the school district and not jeopardize their pensions. Thank you very much.
John, thank you very much. Good point, and thank you for your testimony. I see no questions at this point. John, hang tight. I think Senator Begich might have either a comment or a question.
It is a question, Mr. Chairman. John, just your thoughts on the question that Chairman Stevens had about the monitoring. I know you serve a lot of school districts around the state. And is your thought that just tracking the number of times somebody uses this would be, do you believe that would be a difficult situation for a district? Superintendent here in Juneau indicated that he didn't believe it would be, but what is your sense of it for the rural districts?
I'd say every requirement to track costs money. It costs time. A lot of these rural districts, and frankly all districts I think right now, but a lot of the rural districts, they are wearing an incredible number of hats, and they have obligations already that far exceed the time in the day that they have to devote to them. So I'm probably not the best person to ask that because I'm not a superintendent or a HR director. But I can say that any requirement for reporting is gonna be some kind of cost. And the question is the balance between the cost and the benefit. And I wouldn't want that to get in the way of the passage of SB 185, which, like I said, is a valid and viable tool for a partial addressing of the tremendous shortage of certificated employees throughout the state.
And just a brief follow-up.
Senator Begich.
And again, you know, your experience in seeing all these different districts, sort of not from, but not from an association perspective, but from, you know, sort of this lawyer's perspective. And what about, do you sense that this crisis is going away anytime soon, or is this going to be with us for a long time?
I think it's going to be around for quite a long time. I'll defer to the numbers that Dr. Parity raised, both nationally, the number of individuals going into education, and then here in the state. I think it's exacerbated here in the state as compared to the national numbers, and in addition, to merely that analysis, just the available teachers in the state versus the available teachers and the trending that's going on nationwide. Here in the state, we have fiscal challenges, and those fiscal challenges just exacerbate the differential between the state available numbers and the national available numbers and the trending. So I don't see it going away anytime soon. And it hasn't gone away since, to be frank, I mean, I was around when we did the retire rehire last time. The struggles haven't gone away. They didn't go away in 2010 when the bill sunset. They've still been around, and districts are increasingly struggling more and more to try to fill positions. And as you've heard, they're not filling many positions. When we have an available resource here of people, you know, who have not reached the end of their interest in serving students, but who have retired under the TRS system.
Thank you very much, John. I appreciate that. Some good thoughts. We're going to move along to Superintendent of the Craig School District, Jack Walsh. Jack, are you still with us?
Good morning, members of the Education Committee. This is Jack Walsh, Superintendent in the Craig School District. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak today, and I also want to just thank you for your service to the state of Alaska and certainly to public education. Like many of the people that have testified, I'm calling in support of Senate Bill 185 and the ability to rehire retired teachers and administrators. I do believe, as many have told you, this has been a challenge for a long time that, again, we, you know, filling positions has been a challenge a long time, and having a tool like this is something that would really help us. I don't want to repeat everything everybody said. I do appreciate that, you know, you've heard from superintendents, you've heard from, you know, different people with organizations and from the Department of Administration. And I also appreciate that, you know, Mr. Cedar was just speaking, because all of them bring a perspective that's important. We currently have people working in our district, a person working in our district on an emergency certificate because we couldn't find a special ed teacher to fill a position. And again, like you heard from some districts, Craig is probably an area where a lot of people would like to live and where our winners and our year-round situation in Craig is a very pleasant, you know, kind of destination for people to be. We have great kids and great schools, and we need to have the best teachers we can in those positions whenever we can. There are a couple things that, as, you know, district superintendents and as people working in schools, we've been doing over the years to try to help with this. You know, the University of Alaska has a very aggressive sort of plan that they're going to fill greater percentages of our openings over the next number of years, and we're working with them to try to make sure that happens and encourage our students to maybe consider those opportunities as they are thinking about careers and stuff. But this isn't a problem that's going to end real soon or go away anytime soon as far as I can tell. I do always appreciate that, you know, questions about how this will impact retirement or how it will impact districts and the cost for insurance and stuff are being debated. But I think this is something that, you know, each time there's a model for this retire plan, there are some things that we learned from the previous ones. And I think that this is a well-designed, well-thought-out plan that can help all of us and, again, help ensure that the students of Alaska are provided with the best opportunities possible for their educational programs. I'll end my testimony there. I'm available for any questions, and thank you again for your service to the state.
Thank you, Jack Walsh. I appreciate your work. Seeing no questions, we'll let you to your duties of the day, and with gratitude for that duty. We're going to go now to, is it Dana Defoe, Center for Alaska Education Policy Research at UAA?
Hello, yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. Please put yourself on the record. Give us your testimony.
Okay, yes. For the record, I'm Dr. Dana DeFeo. I'm the director of the Center for Alaska Education Policy Research. That's at the Institute of Social and Economic Research at UAA. And my research and expertise include teacher supply and demand, so I'm here to address the committee in that capacity. I have just three brief points. A lot of them have been made before, but I think I can provide some additional context or background from the research side. We have a nationwide teacher shortage. We've heard that, but in Alaska, this is really a perfect storm because we've got low teacher production in the lower 48, and every year we graduate about 200 teachers from Alaska, but we hire nearly four times that many from out of state. So out of state teacher production is low. That means we have fewer applicants. And at the same time, the teacher supply is shrinking in the lower 48. Their economy is booming. So other states are really able to hire more teachers, offer more attractive salary and benefits packages. And all meanwhile, our economy is not really booming at the moment. So comparatively speaking, teacher salaries here are not as high as they used to be. Teachers who are already working here can look to the lower 48 and find very enticing office offers close to home. And when, you know, new teachers have these competing opportunities, it's harder and harder for us to attract them here. And all of this, of course, disproportionately affects rural districts and schools where they rely much more heavily on those out-of-state hires. And so then, you know, with all of this, we have more teacher turnover. And I've testified last spring that administrative costs of teacher turnover are like more than $20,000 per position. And this doesn't include the cost of teacher preparation or, and the most important thing, this isn't talking about the impact on student learning. So we've consistently documented that high teacher turnover means lower student performance, and teacher shortages mean that we are going to end up with teachers who have fewer qualifications or less qualified teachers. And already in Alaska, the gap in teacher quality between low-income and middle-income students is the third highest in the nation. So our economic situation means more teacher turnover. It's going to be increasingly difficult to find and hire those highly qualified educators. So what this means is these circumstances leave our schools, especially our rural schools and our low-income schools, in quite a bind. At my Center for Alaska Education Policy Research, we do work around how districts manage hiring challenges. Districts do some wonderful and creative things to fill vacancies, but the bottom line is that when the size and quality of the applicant pool is diminishing, especially when that pool is small for the hardest to fill positions like special education, secondary math, secondary science, the overall quality of education in the state goes down. So I'll just close by saying that the increasing our pool of highly qualified teachers and getting them into our schools, particularly our rural and low-income schools, really needs to be a priority for the state of Alaska. Thank you.
Well said, Dana. And see no questions. We really appreciate your work. And this bill will probably come up next go around. And I have a feeling the chairman's going to be talking about a sunsetting, which would require reporting. That's something that probably our legislative audit will do, but it would require information from schools. Is that something that in the last go-around was of any great value as a research element?
I'm sorry, I'm having a very difficult time hearing you. Was the question if reporting would be a significant burden for researchers?
I'll restate it. Can you hear me all right?
It's very soft. I'll try.
All right, I'll get right close to the microphone. How's that?
Oh, much better. Thank you very much.
Right. So this is the first time I've ever been told I had too soft a voice. So in years past, we have done some retire rehire issues, and this is a new look at a new way of doing it. But we had sunsets on them, and that sunset requires that there's a reporting mechanism that we go through our ledge auditing, and we collect information. And it could be a requirement of reporting from the districts, or it could be just reporting from the audit. Has that been of any value as a research item to you, Dana?
I've not used that personally. However, we do have researchers at ICER who are looking at some of these policies and getting a hold of the data and doing some more sophisticated analyses. And I can certainly ask and see if that would be of value and if we would be able to produce something of value for the committee.
That would be appreciated. Get it to Senator Stevens, who's the chairman of the committee, but you can tell him that Senator Coghill asked, but that would be nice to have for his information.
So, absolutely. Thank you.
Dana, thank you very much for your testimony and your continued work. The last person I have to testify at this point is Eric Gebhardt from the Nenana School District, who's the superintendent. Eric.
Good morning. This is Eric Gebhardt, superintendent of the Nenana City School District, and I am also calling in support of SB 185. Nenana is a small rural school district. We are located on a road system just 55 miles south of Fairbanks, so we don't have the significant teacher turnover and significant numbers. But I think maybe one of the things, a current need that we have, I think would kind of help put things in perspective. In the past, when we would have teacher openings, we would get anywhere from lately 15 to 20 applicants. When I first came 10 years ago, we were probably 25 or more applicants, and we would do our interviews, and we would even, there would be some really good qualified teachers that we wouldn't even interview and such. But currently we're looking for a high school math teacher. We've been advertising for 2 weeks, and we have 5 applicants. So that's a it's very concerning to me that the number of applicants for our district has gone down that significantly. So anything that we can do to increase the pool raises the potential quality of the folks that we'll be able to put in front of our kids, and that's really the bottom line, is finding the best person at the time you have to put in front of the kids to give them what they need. So I am fully in support of SB 185, as is the Neenan's City School District Board. So with that, I'll take any questions. Or
first of all, thank you, Eric. No questions at this point, and some real good testimony today, and deep gratitude to the superintendents who wake up every morning trying to make their school work and help our kids. I'm not going to close public testimony at this time. I don't know what the intention of the chairman totally is at this point, except for to bring this bill up. So we're going to accept that public testimony, set Senate Bill 185 aside for the day, with the expectation that the chairman will bring it back up. Thank you all for testifying and for... I'm sorry. Oh, okay. From the chair's staff. So we will take it up again. If there are specific amendments from the committee that you want to look at, please submit them to Mr. Lampkin here, who is the committee aide, by Friday, March 9th at 5 p.m. With that, we'll adjourn this committee.